The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to St. Stephen's Online Church. We're very glad you're with us. Let's prepare ourselves to worship today by lighting the candle and settling our hearts and minds to focus upon God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Awesome God, faithful and true, we gather to worship in spirit today in the name of Jesus Christ to proclaim your sovereignty. Inspire us to be courageous witnesses of your grace and mercy, of your forgiveness and love. Come by the power of your Holy Spirit and write your word on our hearts. Claim us as your own forever. We love you, we adore you, we worship you. Amen.
Good morning. Would you join me in saying together our prayer of confession?
Great and holy God, eternal, wonderful in glory, who keeps covenant with those who love you with their whole heart, who is the life of all, the help of those that flee to you, the hope of those who cry to you, cleanse us from our sin. Cleanse our souls and our bodies, our hearts and consciences, that with pure hearts and willing spirits, with earnest love and calm hope, we may celebrate this Easter season. We pray this through the risen one, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Friends, the wonderful news is that when we are lost, all is not lost. God is seeking us, gathering us into the people of God. So let us rejoice now in God's unending love and grace. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this portion of our service. As you can see, we're outside, back on my back patio. I looked out this morning, thought the weather looked fine, thought we should be outside. The cost to that is you'll probably get some background noise. You might hear a plane or a car drive by or one of my neighbors calling out to one another, but I think it's okay. It's nice to be outside. I'd like to read to you a word of scripture. It's taken from Acts chapter 7, beginning at verse 55. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven. This is Saint Stephen. He gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he died. The Word of God. It's a slightly unnerving thing, but you just never really know who's watching you, do you? And no, this isn't the admission of some social isolation-induced paranoia, but I got to thinking about this because of all the lineups that are required to get into most stores. We don't really know what to do when we're lined up and preparing ourselves for the occasional interrogation on our way in. In fact, we're all kind of stressed and wary and eyes are darting around. I have it on pretty good authority that right now this is an especially stressful time for those who need to line up in front of the Qualicum liquor store. And say it's like they've got the eyes of the whole town focused on them. A lot of perceived judgment going on here. But I digress. Now, what I'm really thinking about is that in our normal lives, and how we pine for something approach a normal life, I know, but our actions and our real character are on display far more than we know. People see more than we realize, and so you never really know who's observing your life. In last Sunday's sermon, Diane commented that when she first looked at the Bible reading for the day, she did a bit of a gulp. And as we've discussed here before, like other churches, we tend to plan some months ahead as to what we're preaching about, trying to balance out a number of different factors, like where we are in the church year and drawing from the various themes that the breadth of Scripture offers us, and all the while recognizing the different needs for growing us each into the likeness of Christ, and of course acknowledging the unique context of our time and place. So there's a lot going on in just picking a Bible reading for a Sunday morning. And sometimes when we actually get to preaching on the chosen reading months later, well, things have changed a bit. See, back in February when I was doing that work, I was thinking about a rather different world. You may remember those glorious days, you know, when we could actually, you know, be together, when we could shake hands and share a meal, to be employed. And on those stressful forays downtown, not have to look at other shoppers as if they're possible plague carriers. Those were the days. And when I was doing that sorting and choosing, honestly, I thought I might be doing some kind of victory tour, or at least a retirement tour, because in 50 days it was expected that you'd be giving me a gold watch and I would be humbly saying, "Oh shucks, you shouldn't have." And so I was looking to some Bible readings that I figured were appropriate for a kind of that transitional time. Yet here we are in a rather different reality, certainly different than I was expecting. We've got far bigger fish to fry than my retirement. And so I'm finding myself a bit unsure as to what to do with this text. But when I chose it, I was thinking about the central character, St. Stephen, the one whom somewhere in our local church history decided would be a good personality to look to in the naming of this congregation. St. Stephen, the very first Christian martyr, literally the first witness, because that's what the word martyr means, witness. I was thinking how our namesake was the first of a very, very long line of the faithful who would witness, who would offer their testimony in the giving of their lives, or in some way enduring suffering in the service of the gospel for the good news of Jesus Christ. For the record, Stephen doesn't actually appear in the gospel stories. No, he appears in the account of the first Christian church, that Holy Spirit-empowered body of believers we meet in the book of Acts. And it's in the first half of chapter 6 that he and some others are introduced to us. The time is about 35 AD, and the church is growing by leaps and bounds. And growth in any movement usually means conflict somewhere. The church was experiencing growing pains. And yes, it seems like the very first church members, those whose life together Diane spoke about in last Sunday's sermon, it seems they were indeed a collection of human beings, which means flawed human beings. As you all know as well as I do, the church would be a much easier and less frustrating place if it weren't populated by flawed people. And let me anticipate what might be immediately going through your mind. Yes, that includes some impressively flawed clergy as well. But here you go. The reality is that imperfect people are who we are. And while we see early on in the New Testament that the early church did some amazing things, well, nor did it have a shortage of problems either. One of the amazing things they did was feed people. The church, since its inception, has been known for its focus on those who are on the edges of society, caring for those who are vulnerable in some way. And in the book of Acts, it's revealed that the first church had a real concern for those who'd been widowed, and therefore rather exposed to a serious difficulty. So some were going hungry. And so they embarked on a feeding ministry to address this problem. They had a daily food distribution going on. And I just want to pause here for a second to reflect on the fact that our forebear and namesake, Stephen, was chosen to distribute food to the hungry. And interestingly, that's become part of our congregational character together too, hasn't it? Of course, we're not doing that right now, and that's hard, and it sure doesn't feel right. But I do wonder if our name might be a reminder for us, for who we're called to be, what we're called to be about. Back to the book of Acts. There's a problem. Some of the Greek-speaking members of the church had begun to get the impression that the Aramaic or Hebrew-speaking widows might be getting more attention than those who were the Greek-speaking widows. Hence, the complaint department was now open. Thorny issues related to diversity have long been a part of church life. Those remembered as the 12 disciples, those key leaders in the early church, they got wind of this concern, and they decided that delegating this important responsibility was the best thing, because they understood their own primary call was teaching and preaching and prayer. So they asked the church members to discern some wise and spirit-filled people amongst them to do this other vital work. St. Luke, who is the writer of Acts, he reported that the church membership rather liked the sound of this, and they chose 7 individuals who were ordained to a very much hands-on ministry task. And as I've already mentioned, one of them was Stephen. Now, I find one of the most distressing things about life in the church is that the Holy Spirit has this perennial habit of doing things that the official committees of the church didn't organize or anticipate. The phrase, "So here's the plan," well, that should always be said with a bit of humility in the life of disciples. And this is the messiness of life in the kingdom of God. So Stephen, in the second half of the 6th chapter of Acts, is also revealed to be working well outside of his official job description, being someone who performed signs and wonders amongst the people. So he was a miracle worker too. Because good deeds are often punished in this perverse world we're a part of, he got all sorts of pushback from some of the local religious establishment who accused him of all manner of things. And this led to Stephen's response, which we can read at length in Acts chapter 7. So yes, it seems that the Holy Spirit gave this lad the gift of preaching too. And in his lengthy response, Stephen tells the story. He tells the biblical story, starting with Abraham and then moves to Joseph and then to Moses. He retells and reviews that story of Israel so that his audience can then see what he and others have had revealed to them. And eventually, at the end of his speech, he quite pointedly tells his accusers that they'd lost the thread of what God was trying to do amongst them. And he pulls no punches. He calls them out in some really harsh terms, which brings us to this morning's passage, that brief passage at the end of the chapter. The crowd is stung by Stephen's painful rebuke, and they quite angrily turn on him. But curiously, Stephen's response isn't to engage in that with that anger. In fact, the writer of Acts tells us that Stephen is filled with the Holy Spirit. So God is doing something remarkable in him at that moment. And as the crowd rage against him, in that moment Stephen beheld the glory of God. A wonderfully ambiguous, but I find heartening statement. In some way, he was given a gift, a vision of the reality that's just outside of our normal sight. And in that moment, the curtain was lifted somehow, and he sees Jesus saying to all those who are railing against him, oblivious of their rage, he says, I can see him. I can see Jesus standing right next to God. And maybe, and this is purely my own speculation, of course, but maybe he heard the calls of encouragement and the applause of those who'd gone before him. Maybe he heard the cheers of Abraham and Joseph and Moses, heard them calling out, "Yes, Stephen, yes, well done." The angry who were in the crowd missed all that, of course. They dragged Stephen outside of the city to stone him to death. And Stephen, sounding more than a little like Jesus on the cross, he prays aloud that God won't hold the sin against those who are killing him. And then he dies. But you never know who's watching you, do you? Turns out that in the crowd that day, there was a young man named Saul. And this Saul, as we're told in the very first verse of the next chapter, approved of this killing. In fact, he held the coats of those who were actually throwing the stones that brutally took the life of Stephen. So no, you never really know who's watching. And I wonder what Saul saw on Stephen's face when he was given his vision. I wonder if he saw a reflection there. I wonder if he remembered what he saw years later. Of course, that Saul is best remembered by the church as Paul. The same Paul who would, perhaps aware of the head-shaking irony of the situation, would describe himself amongst the last and the least of those who had the vision that Stephen experienced when he died. That is, seeing the resurrected Jesus. And because of St. Paul's faithfulness, the church grew, and millions upon millions of lives were changed through their encounters with the risen Christ. So you never really know who's watching or the effect we have on others. In some spiritual gift inventories, you'll occasionally see, and I firmly believe that God gives us all gifts to be employed in the work of ministry, the ministry that each and every follower of Christ is called to be about. But in some inventories of those gifts, along with categories like mercy and faith and prophecy and helping and healing and more, you sometimes see the spiritual gift of martyrdom. For most of us, martyrdom doesn't involve the loss of our lives. Though for some, of course, it has. But for most of us, and really I expect for all of us, there will be moments when we'll have the opportunity to witness, to speak, to act, even in the face of there being a real cost to us in doing so. There's inevitably some witnessing, some martyrdom that will come for all of us. And here's the thing. You never really know who's watching in the heavens or here. But that witness, well, it can change everything. Praise be to God. Join together in repeating a new creed.
We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, friends. Please join me in the prayers of the people. O Lord, our shepherding God, come close to us now. Come near us in our time of need. Shepherding God, we need you in our time of anxiety. We need you in our time of economic uncertainty. We need you in a time of globe-trotting disease. We need you to bind our wounds and pour your healing ointment on our heads. We need the briars and the brambles and burrs pulled out of our fleece and skin. Shepherding God, you guide us with your voice. Help us to listen and follow no matter where your voice leads. Help us to trust you. Shepherding God, protect us from the hired hands that do not really care for us and have neglected or abused us in the past. Shepherding God, thank you for your Son, who laid down his life for those who follow him and for those who are not in the fold yet. Lord, we pray for those who do not know the Shepherd, whose life circumstances kept them from knowing the Good Shepherd. We pray that by our actions, our behavior, and our reaching out in the community, they may come to know you. Shepherding God, renew us, guide us with your love, and renew us with your peace. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, once again, let me express our deep gratitude for your faithful giving to the work of St. Stephen's. We have been receiving gifts again all week, and we are so very thankful. So would you join me now in offering a prayer over those gifts?
O God, giver of all good things, who has entrusted us with much, accept these offerings that we now return to you. In the name of the risen one, we pray. Amen.
Before I say the blessing for today, I have just a few announcements for us. The first is that you may have noticed that the weeds continue to grow despite the pandemic, and that's true in the church gardens as well. Susan Lee and Marilyn Bateman are doing a wonderful job trying to keep on top of those gardens, but they could use some help. So if you have some time and some energy and you would like to go and do a bit of gardening at the church at an appropriate distance, of course, please give Susan Lee a call. There is an announcement in your emailed announcements this week with her telephone number, or if you can't track that down, you can call Adele in the office during the week and she will put you in touch with Susan. So thank you if you have some time and energy to share to do that work. The second announcement is we want you to know that despite the fact that our Thursday lunches are not continuing during this time, we are still receiving donations from Quality Foods that we would normally have received for those lunches, and we are taking them and distributing them to the local food bank. It's kind of interesting. I think it's a bit of an adventure for the people that get to go and pick up all of this bread and donated food on Thursday mornings. Sometimes some people think that they might be taking a little more than their fair share. So they're doing wonderful service, taking on the adventures of grocery stores in the pandemic and also making sure that the most vulnerable people in our community continue to have access to healthy food regularly. And finally, we want you to know that the Board of Elders are continuing to meet during this time, and we've done some work together doing some financial forecasting for the short term with this new reality. It looks like if people continue to give to the level that we have been giving in these last few weeks, we will be able to sustain our operations throughout the near short term. Until we hopefully get to the other side of this pandemic. And we wanted you to know that the levels that you are giving are making it possible for us to continue the work that we are doing. And so things look like they're okay for us for this time. And we hope that eases any concerns you may have. Now let me say the blessing for today. Friends, may you be blessed with the power of God to heal, to help, to liberate, and to challenge. And may you be blessed with a holy, Christ-like yearning for a better world and a fuller faith. And may you be blessed with the presence of the Holy Spirit with you and among you this day and always. Amen.